I'm Brandi Cruz, coming up today on Undivided. Independent journalist James O'Keefe exposing undeniable evidence of voter fraud in California. Plus, a trans youth advocate is charged with heinous crimes against a baby, and the media is calling him a woman. Plus, buckle up for another totally grassroots and spontaneous round of No Kings protests. That and much more coming up today on Undivided. Remember, you can support our show for just $5 a month by signing up at UndividedPod.com, UndividedPod.com. Click on the banner that says support the show. Hello, hello, and welcome to Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving common sense a comeback. We have to start today in California because this independent investigation by James O'Keefe is insane. And I have to believe that this sort of weaponization of the homeless population to achieve political ends is certainly not relegated to California. It's something we need to be watching out for in Washington state as well. So James O'Keefe and another group of independent journalists, some of whom you will be familiar with, set out to follow up on tips and leads that homeless people were being paid in cash and sometimes other things to sign voter initiatives, ballot measures, and even register to vote. Here's part of his investigation.
We found petitioners who were actually offering homeless people money in exchange for signatures on the ballot petitions. $2 to be exact, in exchange for their signatures.
Well, you got a light, cigarette. You want a cigarette? No, you want six.
$2.
Oh, it's good.
We just need 14 signatures.
Oh, what is it for?
Save the park, save the streets, save basically everything to help save the kids.
Nice. Who's doing it?
We all doing it.
What's the name of the group?
Save the Kids Foundation.
Kids Foundation? Oh, is it like voting or is it like
everything?
Notice the $20 bill pinned to this man's shirt. This is a signal to all nearby homeless people that he is a source of the money.
Absolutely insane. So they're out there collecting signatures. They park themselves on Skid Row, where all the homeless people are in Los Angeles, and they give them money if they sign the ballot measures. That is, of course, against the law, as James O'Keefe points out.
Paying citizens to sign petitions is a violation of California Elections Code 18603, which states, quote, every person who offers or gives money or other valuable consideration to another in exchange for his or her signature on a state, county, municipal, or district initiative, referendum, or recall petition is guilty of a misdemeanor.
And as he found out, they're not just giving them cash. Sometimes they bribe them with other things as well.
But it wasn't just cash that we saw exchanged for signatures. We also saw the homeless being bribed with cigarettes and even drugs, marijuana, and all of that is considered valuable consideration.
Marijuana. Literally like a nugget of weed out in the open in Skid Row for a homeless person so they'll sign an initiative. Broad daylight, out in the open, busy area. Cigarettes, weed, a couple bucks. And what do you think they're giving homeless people a couple bucks for? So they can go buy drugs with it. And this is, of course, and we know this very well, this is obviously illegal. And this doesn't happen everywhere. I mean, we do in Washington State, Let's Go Washington does pay per signature. We haven't seen any examples of Let's Go Washington signature gatherers giving kickbacks of cash or cigarettes or weed to people to be able to sign. But as you know, this is happening out in the open and they know it's illegal. There is no plausible deniability here. In fact, as part of the story, James O'Keefe speaks to what is very clearly a legitimate signature gatherer.
Now you don't give people money to sign it.
No, that's illegal.
Oh, that's illegal.
I can't even hand out water.
Really? Mm-hmm. You can't even hand out water? It's very hot in Los Angeles.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's like voter ID, or no, not voter ID, it's voter fraud, they will call it.
Voter fraud?
Yeah, you're basically enticing somebody, hey, if you sign all these, I'll give you a free water.
Right, so he knows, and he says, yeah, I can't even give people water. I can't promise them anything for free in exchange, or I can't promise them anything in exchange for their signature. So it's very clear that these people down there on Skid Row know what they're doing is illegal, and not a surprise. Homeless people have no idea what they're signing.
Our undercover journalist continued to engage with this group in Skid Row and found the majority of homeless people who were being paid to sign, as you might expect, didn't even know what it was they were signing.
$2 petitions.
What are we doing?
$3 petitions. You sign nine papers. What's your signature?
And what is
date,
it?
Address. And then after nine, they're going to give you an additional one more sign. After that one more, you get $3.
But what is that petition for?
You know? What is the petition for?
They were also encouraging the homeless to just make up random addresses, such as Pinocchio Lane.
Where do I put it in my address?
Yeah, just put up. You live on Pinocchio Lane.
Huh?
Oh.
Oh, you can just take it.
Oh, good.
Wild. Now, one of the kind of interesting parts of this is, although they can make up their address, you can't just sign, you can't be anyone and sign onto one of these initiatives. You have to be, similar to Washington State, you have to be a registered voter. So not only are they out there in front of everyone, broad daylight, committing the crime of giving people kickbacks for signing one of these initiatives, they're also committing the crime of having homeless people who aren't registered voters register to vote for cash, so their signature on the initiative is then valid.
Brenda Brown also has a stack of voter registration forms so she can get the homeless people to first register to vote.
Okay, you guys, I need to get paid. Come on, my
The petitioner, Brenda Brown, then hands cash money to the homeless person, not only for signing the California ballot initiative, but also as payment for them to register to vote. That is a federal felony, 52 U.S.C. 10307.
So they're committing a federal felony. You got to register to vote so that this signature that you're giving me that I'm going to give you a couple bucks for is valid, and then I get paid for it by whatever entity is paying me to be out here and collect these signatures. So they're committing a state crime, and they're committing a federal crime. And you might be saying, well, okay, good. Now law enforcement's wise to it. Now they can do something about it. They've been wise to this happening for 7 years because it was prosecuted before.
Previously, in 2019, nine individuals were prosecuted by the Los Angeles DA for this exact crime. They were exchanging cigarettes and cash for petition signatures, but none of it was on video, and it wasn't captured to this extent. There were 14 counts, primarily focused around payment for signatures, a violation of that California Elections Code 18603.
So it happened before. It was in the news. They were prosecuted for it 7 years ago, but they feel emboldened enough to be out there doing it. And in this reporting, and you should watch the whole thing, it's only like 28 minutes long, James O'Keefe is talking to individuals who work within the homeless industrial complex who say, oh, this happens all the time. Oh, yeah, literally, they're undercover, right? And you should see James O'Keefe's undercover homeless costume. It's magical. But he's talking to them and he's like, hey, where can I get the sort of the pay per signature thing? I need a couple dollars to buy drugs. And the guy's like, oh, just down the street. So they've already prosecuted this, been the news, and nobody on Skid Row is saying, hey, this is happening again. In fact, as this is going on, there are cops right across the street.
So we found it particularly ironic that two police officers sitting nearby weren't even aware that this was a state or federal crime. Instead, Officer Maravilla of the LAPD dismissed it as a, quote, civil lawsuit.
Do you know a lot of these people here that are making homeless sign petitions and paying cash for it?
I haven't seen them. I mean, I've seen when they signed some type of paperwork, but I didn't know what they were doing. And I saw them at that, right here at the light over here in the back.
Yeah.
But I didn't know what it was for. Like, maybe like 2 weeks ago, I saw them signing for something, but I didn't know if they were getting, like, money in exchange.
Yeah, I think they're getting like $2-3 from what I observe.
Yeah.
Is that legal?
I mean, if it's nonprofit, I mean, they're signing it, it's a consensual, it's more of a civil thing.
How do you not know? Especially in a city where in this exact area, they've been prosecuted for doing this before. How do you not know that it's against the law to pay people to register to vote or to pay people to basically vote with their signature? How do you not know that? And the other thing, right across the street, again, from where this is happening, is a homeless outreach center called Weingar. And as James O'Keefe points out, this is an entity that gets hundreds of millions of dollars in taxpayer funds. And he talked to individuals associated with Weingar who absolutely know this is happening. In fact, one of them, associated with a different homeless outreach center, is on camera at some point basically saying, and that doesn't know they're talking to an undercover journalist, oh, well, you know, if you get caught doing this, just say you had no idea and you're a homeless person and you couldn't afford to hire an attorney to tell you whether this was legal or not. So, of course, this the homeless industrial complex, all of this is wrapped up. And they don't care. They see this happening every single day. They know it's going on. Literal tent where they're handing out cash to homeless people. So they sign these initiatives, so they register to vote, and these people know they're going to use that cash to go down the street and buy fentanyl, the fentanyl that's going to kill them or keep them into homelessness. The homeless industrial complex can continue to get hundreds of millions of dollars in taxpayer funds. And one of the things that's wild is, so James O'Keefe, it's undeniable, right? Never before has there been more undeniable proof of voter fraud than this. It's on camera 28 times. In just the short period of time they're out there, 28 times, he sees something of value exchanged for a vote or a signature or a voter registration, whether it's cash or weed or cigarettes or whatever it is. So it's undeniable. So Governor Gavin Newsom's office sent O'Keefe Media Group a statement saying this alleged activity, it's not alleged, it's literally on camera. I get innocent until proven guilty, but it's literally on camera. He says, this alleged activity is a felony in California. Anyone caught engaging in this activity should be investigated and prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. Okay. At the same time, and we're not covering this today, but Nick Shirley's in California, and he's exposing all this fraud around like home care centers and stuff. And it's just blatant. And what is Governor Gavin Newsom's office doing? They're putting out memes making fun of Nick Shirley for investigating and exposing very clear evidence of fraud. And now we're supposed to believe, but they take this fraud seriously because it's on camera and you kind of can't deny it? No, you don't take fraud seriously at all. And then the Secretary of State in California telling O'Keefe Media Group, under California law, it is illegal to give money or other valuable consideration to another in exchange for their signature on an initiative petition. Yeah, we know that. It is also a crime to circulate, sign, and or file those signed petitions with an elected official. Any initiative petition that is known to include forged names, that's illegal to do. The California initiative process is an important part of our democracy, and those who abuse our system will be held accountable. But again, how many cops? This is Skid Row. You know how many cops and government workers are in Skid Row on any given day? This has already happened in 2019. Prosecutions for it. They know this is happening. They just don't care. Register as many homeless people to vote as you'd like. And I have to wonder, now, they'll probably be a little more careful in the coming months because James O'Keefe's expose. But I wonder if he hadn't done this expose now, what he would have found if he waited closer to the midterms about them registering homeless people to vote and having them vote for Democrats. I'm sure that that kind of stuff is happening there. Now, O'Keefe Media Group is part of this. They're doing this larger citizen journalist thing. And look who's down on Skid Row helping James O'Keefe with his work. It's our friend Jonathan Cho and Cam Higby. So they posted a video today that they've gone down there at the behest of James O'Keefe to do some of this work. So I very much look forward to seeing what Jonathan Cho, who, what are they? Oh, I thought he wasn't a journalist. I thought Jonathan Cho wasn't a journalist. Really weird. I wonder what he's doing down there. And then Cam Higby, they're going to help Citizen Justice League, which is this entity being run by James O'Keefe, do some of this work down there in California. And I am sure that they will find just a ton of good stuff. But either you care about fraud or you don't care about fraud. You can't just care about fraud when it's politically advantageous to care about fraud. And so Governor Newsom making fun of Nick Shirley and all these stupid memes. Well, Nick Shirley exposes what really looks like examples of fraud. And maybe we'll air some of it later on in the week. But there's like this entity where there's home health care centers. There's like dozens of them in a single place. And there's like they got Maybachs and like $200,000 cars that these people are driving. But then you go inside and there's no evidence that they're doing what they say they're doing. So they're clearly being enriched by the taxpayers. And Gavin Newsom just looks the other way and makes fun of Nick Shirley. Absolutely crazy. On the fraud fronts, we know Washington State is just rife with fraud as well. So the Somali run daycares here, there were some independent journalists doing exposés. The National Review has now picked up on that. Washington State's Somali run daycare centers taken millions of taxpayer numbers, taxpayer dollars. The numbers don't add up. And this is really just a look at some of the work that's already been done here that we've talked about on this show as well. But you'll recall, I mean, Attorney General Nick Brown in our state, despite all this evidence of independent journalists knocking on the door of what's supposed to be a daycare. There's no kids. The neighbors say they've never seen kids there. There's no evidence of anything kids might play with or kids might do. And these entities are taking in $100,000 a month, despite very clear, and I don't, maybe I won't call it evidence, but clues that there ought to be something for the government to look into. Attorney General Nick Brown in Washington State has repeatedly shrugged off these allegations.
We watch the news, right? There's been a lot of reports on fraud that came into our office. Most of them are what I would view as pretty baseless allegations.
How do you even say that? How do you say they're baseless immediately? When he had that press conference, it was like immediate, where he's like, they're baseless. And remember, he also called it racist to go knock on the doors of Smalley daycares and called it harassment. There's no way your office did an actual investigation in the course of the, what, day or two, where people were out there knocking on these doors, and then you have a press conference saying, oh, it just appears to be baseless. You didn't even look into it at all. But the reporter with the National Review who did this story, Malia Marks, she went out and did some, on-the-street investigations, and she said, believe me when I tell you I was terrified that I would be arrested for visiting the Our Hope School, a registered place of business, after AG Nick Brown's comments. And to that, Congressman Michael Baumgartner of our state responded, no journalist should have to be terrified by a state attorney general for trying to investigate the potential fraud of public taxpayer funds. Very concerning. I agree. I mean, but that's what they're trying to do. They want to chill this kind of journalism. That's the only reason why the attorney general and Democratic lawmakers in the state of Washington's immediate response would be to call this harassment. To go to the door and knock on a door very politely of someone who's getting hundreds of thousands of dollars in taxpayer funds to do something that they're very clearly not doing. They want to stop people like Jonathan Cho, people like James O'Keefe, people like Cam Higby, and many, many other individuals who have taken on this important work. They want to have them be scared, like Malia Marks said, to knock on the door and worry, is the attorney general's office going to accuse me of harassment? Am I going to be charged for harassment? Are the cops going to be called on me? And we know, more broadly speaking, I think that this is, I mean, I love to see this. And really, it's all born out of the work Nick Shirley did in Minneapolis, what I think is a renewed focus on investigating fraud and the theft of taxpayer funds. And even CBS News now, under Barry Weiss, they sent reporters to Los Angeles to look into some of the fraud that's happening there. And so you're starting to see this trickle a little bit into the mainstream. And we know that President Trump has put Vice President J.D. Vance in charge nationally in looking into fraud.
We started to figure out one big hole that existed is that the agencies of the government weren't actually talking to each other. So Treasury would have evidence of financial fraud, but wasn't talking to the Department of Justice about it. Health and Human Services had evidence of Medicaid fraud, but wasn't talking to the Department of Treasury about it. So what this executive order does is force the entire apparatus of the federal government to do two things. Stop the fraud on the American taxpayer and make sure that the benefits that ought by right go to American citizens go to American citizens. And not to fraudsters.
Well, and also reevaluate, do we need to even be spending money in these places? How much can we cut spending? Because, you know, if you had these programs for autism or whatever, and nobody was complaining that the programs weren't helping the autistic, it's probably because like 10% of those people actually needed the services and 90% was just fraud. So you can give that 90% back to the taxpayers. And so I think there's, I mean, this should be such a nonpartisan issue. It's crazy that this has been relegated as like a right-wing talking point. We're talking about billions, maybe even $1 trillion. If you look at just what's been exposed in Minneapolis and California, and you sort of look at, okay, what other states operate in that fashion, Washington would be one of them. You're looking at so much money at a time when all those states, their budget situations are bleak. Well, that should be the number one thing you look at. Okay, well, let's see if we're losing money to fraud. And then we can put some of that money back into our coffers and spend it on some of these other important areas that the government should actually be spending money on. So just insane. A lot of credit to James O'Keefe for that work. And again, if you haven't checked out his homeless outfit, he even put a limp on and went into the street screaming about being a pigeon. It was brilliant. I mean, Emmy award winning stuff. All right. Coming up next, the story we're going to talk about is very difficult. And I'm going to try to maybe not read everything from the court documents, but it involves violent abuse of a baby, But we need to talk about it. And so I just want to give you that warning ahead of time. First, if you are a small to mid-sized landlord in the state of Washington, consider becoming a member of the Rental Housing Association of Washington. Go to rhawa.org, rhawa.org. It is Washington's trusted resource, empowering housing providers. And really, RHA serves three purposes. So the primary purpose is helping landlords on an individual basis. If you're a member of RHA, they're going to have your back as you try to navigate this really upside down world that we're living in when it comes to rules and regulations for how you can rent out your own property. And then they have events all across the state that are fun events for anyone really interested in housing policies. You can be part of those. And then they're down in Olympia advocating on your behalf, not just during the session, but all year long. So rhawa.org, rhawa.org, Washington's trusted resource, empowering housing providers. So you might have seen this story or this headline or a headline like it out in the local news media. Former member of Youth Focused Pierce County Board charged with rape of an infant. Former member of Youth Focused Pierce County Board charged with rape of an infant. And it talks about this 25-year-old who formerly served on a youth-focused board that provides insight to Pierce County about homelessness and housing instability has been arrested and accused of raping an infant girl. Now, let me just say off the bat that how the media covered this is inexcusable. Absolutely inexcusable. Because they call this guy a woman. And it's a man. It's a dude who thinks he's a woman. So some of the headlines. And it says in these headlines, the defendant is transgender and uses the name Isabel, according to court documents. But then it goes on to say, and her public Facebook account. Her. She. She's charged with first-degree rape of a child. And sexual exploitation of a minor after allegedly assaulting the infant in her care. Is that not the most disgusting, absolutely disgusting thing the media could do? Is blame the rape of a child on the female sex? And no, you don't get away with it because you say, oh, but the defendant is transgender. But she, her, we're going to use their preferred pronouns. I don't know. I feel like if you're accused of a violent, serious offense, maybe you lose your right to have your preferred pronouns used by the media. And the newsrooms will say, and the Associated Press will say, because it's AP style, that they use preferred pronouns in their reporting. I feel like that's a bit obtuse. You can't make an exception for someone who's accused of raping a baby. Like, maybe we make it clear, this is a man, because part of the crime was using their male anatomy to rape a child. And that's like, how do you trust a media outlet that will call that obvious man a woman? Who use their male anatomy to rape a child. To me, that just, you can't trust that media outlet at all. Totally untrustworthy, because they're making a decision to lie to you. So Redux is a much better website to go to actually read about the truth in regards to these incidents. I want to read you a little bit about the accusations here. It says, a Washington man, thank you, who identifies as transgender, has been arrested and charged with the rape of an infant girl. William Kelso Flournay, who uses the name Isabel or Izzy, was charged last week with first-degree rape of a child and sexual exploitation of a minor. Tacoma police began investigating the rape after receiving a priority one level cyber tip from Google through a database used for internet crimes against children. And again, this is very difficult to hear. According to the Tacoma Police incident report obtained by Redux, the tip had flagged a photo uploaded through Google described as depicting a quote, adult man on his knees with a small infant in front of him. The man, whose face was not visible in the photo, was penetrating the infant. And that's where I'll leave that. Absolutely just death penalty stuff. Should put these people to death. Goes on to say, disturbingly, the Tacoma Police Department incident report also notes that a search of Flournay's room found that he was in possession of a baby's binky, a stuffed animal, and a child's character plastic drinking cup. The investigator noted that it appears Flournay is interested in infantilism. So like those totally mentally disturbed people who pretend to be babies and dress as babies and do baby things. Absolutely insane. On Facebook, Flournay claims to be a youth advocate, and he operated multiple social media accounts under the name Isabel. On X, Flournay followed multiple transgender pornography accounts, as well as engaged with racialized racialized pornography that fetished themes of white inferiority and the, quote, black New World Order. Good God, what do you even do with this? Flournoy previously volunteered with the Youth Action Board, a youth-led group connected to the REACH Center in Tacoma. REACH, massive player in the homeless industrial complex. It says that the Youth Action Board that he was part of provides input on issues affecting young people experiencing homelessness and housing instability. Something tells me that he just used that board in order to prey on people, prey on vulnerable people. And I worry so much about the homeless youth who are being separated from their parents, who the government is giving full autonomy to make decisions about their lives and their gender orientation and the surgeries that they might get without any sort of parental consent, cutting them off from any healthy structure that they have, and then throwing them into the arms of people like this at youth outreach centers. It's so absolutely disturbing, but I just cannot get over this. I cannot get over calling him she, her. What the hell has the media become? I don't know how anyone justify that. Please, My Northwest, Cairo, the News Tribune. And they're not the only offenders. We see all the time violent acts in the national media will use the preferred pronouns of the offender. Come out and explain it. Explain it to us in a way that makes sense. Because I understand the AP has its woke style guide. Another thing the AP does in its woke style guide is they say that you need to capitalize the word black, but lowercase the word white when it's used to describe a race of someone. So these are the kind of people that we're dealing with. And they have their policy, use preferred pronouns. But I feel like, you know, rules are meant to be broken. And if you're talking about someone who raped an infant, maybe we just tell people it's a man. It's a man. The normalization of this is beyond my comprehension, and it's the kind of stuff that keeps me up at night. Just disgusting. All right, speaking of, you know, getting a hold of these children, other people's children, so you can indoctrinate them in radical gender ideology. We have a perfect example of that coming up in our segment, Unbelievable. First, our friend Wes Jones of sellwithwes.com is the person that you want to reach out to if you're thinking about selling your home. Go from Sell With Wes to Sold With Wes. You can go to his website and take a look at all the listings that Wes has sold recently, so you can see the outcomes that he's been able to have for his clients and just some of the reviews that his clients have given him. One of the wonderful things that Wes and his team offers is their Listing Boost concierge service, which I think is pretty cool. He comes in, does a pre-inspection. Anything that might pop up, he can help you deal with it on the front end so it doesn't come up later in the sale. And that's something that his clients have just seen a tremendous amount of improvement for. He's been doing it for about 10 years and they love it. So sellwithwes.com, sellwithwes.com. It really just is a better way to sell your home. With that, let's get to our segment, Unbelievable. All right, so you might remember last April, we did a story on Planned Parenthood's so-called sexperts. So Planned Parenthood dubs teenagers in different school districts as their resident sexperts, which is just so creepy in and of itself. And then they'll highlight their sexperts. It's a hard word to say. Sexperts like Eli. One thing I love about being a sexual peer educator is I love being asked the questions my peers would never have felt comfortable asking a teacher. One fact I wish everyone knew about sexual health is STIs are normal, totally normal. Sean H., an 11th grader, teen sexpert, says STIs are normal. So was that their whole thing, is just letting people know totally normal to get a sexually transmitted infection when you're in high school? So one of the things that we talked about at the time is Planned Parenthood literally goes out and recruits these teens to be sexperts and to inform kids and empower kids with information on the laws that allow them to do a whole bunch of things without any sort of parental consent or sign off. So the South King County Teen Council just put out an old call saying, just updating our Washington Teens Sexual Health Rights page for 2026. In Washington, people of any age can access birth control, abortion care, and prenatal care without parental permission. Knowledge is power. So they're out there on social media just saying, hey, here's all the things that you can do. Condoms at any age. Age of consent for sex. This is something we talked about in April when we covered it. The age of consent is 16. It's not a crime if you are 11 and have sex with somebody 2 years older or less. They're literally telling 11, this is, oh my God. If you're 12 to 13 and have sex with somebody who's 3 years older or less, that's not a crime. If you're 14 or 15 and have sex with somebody who's 4 years older or less, that's not a crime. I mean, it's really disgusting predator type stuff. And this is adults pushing all of this on kids and getting them involved in this. So here's something new we got a tip on. We did not realize when we covered this last year that they pay these kids. They pay them up to $400 to be one of these teen sexperts. They get a $400 stipend over the course of the school year for their contribution to the Teen Council's mission. And it also includes the ability to sometimes miss school for presentations. So you recruit, Planned Parenthood is going into our schools, recruiting teen sexperts to help kids bypass parental notification and parental consent to get all these sort of services, figure out how they can do it, where they can do it, where they can get gender care. This is all happening in your schools. Recruit the teens to tell their friends about it. Recruit the teens to tell 11-year-olds, oh, you can have sex too. It's not a crime as long as the person's not, is only 2 years older or less. We'll also give you some money if you want to do this work on behalf of Planned Parenthood, basically creating the future Planned Parenthood clients and donors of tomorrow. And you can even miss class. How are they going to miss class? So you're telling me that they can miss class and their parents don't even have to know about it? If they're doing something for Planned Parenthood and making these sexual presentations. So this also from the South King County Teen Council, bragging about the success. This chick is holding this sign that says abortion forever. What does that even mean? What does abortion forever mean? It says, so far this school year, South King County Teen Council has facilitated 19 lessons for nearly 600 youth and supported almost 1,300 of their peers with informal education, from conversations about healthy relationships, which birth control methods to choose, how to get an abortion, or just providing resources like condoms and Plan B. And then there was a comment on here. We at the Condom Fairy love working with you. And that got us thinking, what the hell is the Condom Fairy? Because they're working with the Teen Council, which of course is recruiting kids in our schools. So here's the Condom Fairy website. You'll notice the little sign in the background of these women that says, abortion access is a community responsibility. Again, what does that mean? They just make up sentences that sound nice to them and they don't mean anything. And in here it talks about reproductive health resources in Seattle. The Condom Fairy is a nurse-led nonprofit making sexual and reproductive health care more accessible, affordable, and private in resource stations across Seattle. We provide free products, educational resources, and referrals to affordable services. So just another layer of this sort of indoctrination system. So it says that they don't just provide condoms. They also give out lube. They give out information on gender, quote, affirming care, and they hide it in restrooms of public places and private businesses and tell kids where those restrooms are so they can go get condoms and lube and information on gender affirming care, STI prevention, abortion access, all of these things without their parents knowing. So they find, it says, our resource stations are located in everyday spaces like coffee shops and hair salons, so you can access them without an extra trip to the pharmacy. No, so you can access them when your parents aren't around. Oh, go to that coffee shop. They have condoms and lube in the bathroom hidden. You guys, what is wrong? Like, what happened to the days where we just learned about safe sex at school? And then that was kind of it. And on the abortion issue, give our show poll, Nicole. I asked you guys in our daily subscriber show poll about this, because this is one where I sort of struggle with, like the whole, you know, birth control. If you're I probably started birth control at 17 or 18, but like my mom knew about it. But it's like, you know, before I went into college, I think I graduated at 17. I think I was young when I graduated. But it's like, I never guess I would have thought about, like, it's kind of embarrassing, you know, to have to talk to your parent about, oh, I need birth control, whatever it is. And I get if you're a teen and you get pregnant, you might be really concerned about talking to your parents about needing an abortion. But in our state, not only can you get an abortion without parental consent, but you can get an abortion without your parents even knowing about it. And I really struggle with that because I have to imagine that getting an abortion is a very like emotional taxing experience for a child. And then your parent doesn't even know why you're upset, why you're sick, whatever it is. So I asked you in our daily subscriber show poll, should minors be able to access abortions without parental notification? Remember, I didn't say consent. Mm-hmm. I said parental notification, because I do think it's a weird concept to say a parent like can prohibit you from having an abortion. Like, let's say you're 17 and your parent makes you have a child. I do find something weird about that personally. Okay. So I made it more broad than that, which is like your parent can't stop you from having an abortion, but your parent has to be told about it. So Nicole, should minors be able to access abortions without parents being notified that they're having an abortion?
No, I think parents should be notified because I think it's part of the mental health support. But I also think that what they're trying to do here is make it normal to have an abortion. Like, it's not this big decision in life and it's not going to, you might regret it later, things like that. So I think they're very much trying to make it just, oh, the simple yeah. medical procedure. You just stop by the office and that way you don't have to have a baby.
Yeah, but I don't think a child should ever go through something that traumatic without their parents right. knowing about. I personally, and I know some of you disagree with my stance on abortion, I don't believe a parent should be able to stop a child from getting an abortion. Because that's a huge thing. Like, that's basically would be then like a forced pregnancy. I'm opposed to that. Mm-hmm. But absolutely, yeah. No, your parent needs to know about it. Mm-hmm. Because how are they going to take care of you? To Nicole's point, on a mental health perspective, 92% of you agree that no, they shouldn't be able to get it without parents being notified. Philip says Washington state politicians no longer have a functioning moral compass. Midnight Rider, nothing should come between a parent and their children when it comes to life-altering decisions. Jack threw this in there, abortion is murder, because he knows how I feel. And look, I don't believe, at some point, I feel like there should be a limit. Like, okay, you've had 5 abortions, you're cut off. Or like, you need to be sterilized or something. Because you can't, it's not just like treating it like a disposable thing. I value human life. It's not that I think there should be abortions without any sort of mm-hmm. limit whatsoever. I don't agree with third trimester abortions and all of that. And I totally understand people who believe that abortion at any stage is murder. I don't look down upon you for that sort of belief. Let's see. Kai, having been in the mental health field and privy to the mental and physical abuse girls endured by being forced by parents to take a pregnancy to term, I voted yes. However, as a parent, I would certainly want to know so that I could walk my daughter through the decision-making process, then be there for my daughter if she gets an abortion. And people might say, well, you know, if you want to know your kid's having an abortion, then have a better relationship with them. That's totally disingenuous. You're sending these kids to school to be basically recruited as teen sex therapists by Planned Parenthood, totally unbeknownst to you. They're being given $400 and the opportunity to miss school. And everything the government does is about separating you from your child. I'm sorry, but even a plus parent who's done everything right can have a child that falls into a trap like this, because they make it really, really hard to know what's going on with your kid. Just ridiculous. It's crazy. All right, shall we do a quick double dose of unbelievable? Let's do it. Oh, gosh. I'm just warning you. This is more of a warning to gear up for another round of No Kings protests. This one, March 28th. No thrones, no crowns, no kings. Oh, good. Well, I agree. I don't think we should have any kings in the United States of America. It's sort of contrary to our founding. So I'm glad we agree on this. But look at all the places. This is just in Washington state. Look at all the planned protests.
This isn't even all of them. This is no. all I could fit on this montage. But
I mean, literally everywhere. Big towns, small towns, everywhere.
At a senior center.
At a senior center. I mean, come on. This isn't grassroots. This is insane. And this costs money to be this organized. Think of how much money is going into this movement. And you know what? Good for them. Good for the left. The left is so much better at being organized and getting out there and doing things. I wish the right was that organized, even if there was somebody funding it. Because you know what? You're out there and you're doing these things. You win the narrative. You win the media narrative for the day. And so I don't even know if I frown upon it anymore. Although last time I was out for the No Kings protest covering it in Seattle, remember like all the people who were wishing death on President Trump and that guy who told me on camera that he would kill Stephen Miller if he had the chance? Mm-hmm. I need to follow up with the FBI because I know that that was sent. That clip was received by the FBI and they were looking into it. So I wonder if they ever identified that guy who said on camera and double tripled down that he'd kill Stephen Miller if he had the chance because he's a Nazi.
Right.
Crazy.
I am frustrated with the coverage too because they're advertising it as here's where to find them.
Yes. So like, oh yeah, here's where you can attend the No Kings. To some extent. Right. Do you think that they would say here's where to attend a MAGA rally?
Right.
Do you think that they would never do that?
Or would they ever say here's how to avoid the No Kings protests?
Yep.
No.
No. Never would do that.
Here's how to find it.
Just crazy. I mean, it's weird. Weird. Sadly, I have friends and family who'll probably be at one of those. All right, we'll get to national news, talk about the SAVE Act coming up next. First, our friends at Firstmark Insurance are the people that you want to talk to if you're looking to save money on your insurance or just really get a second opinion. I think, you know, we all need insurance. We feel like it's just a fact of life, so you just sort of let it ride. But you might be paying more than you need to pay. You might also have the wrong insurance for your needs, and so you're not 100% like covered in the event that something horrible happens. We hear from undivided viewers and listeners all the time that they took the Firstmark Challenge or saving hundreds, if not thousands of dollars a year. Robin, Carol, Debbie, Connie, we get so many great emails from you guys. And some of you, you know, took the Firstmark Challenge, found out you couldn't save money, and then just went on your way, but appreciated the experience and the second opinion. So firstmarkinsurance.com, firstmarkinsurance.com. The very best part is they work for you, not the insurance company. So they always have your best interest in mind. All right. So on a 51-48 vote, the Senate advanced the SAVE Act for debate. We expect that the debate will probably last a couple days. There are Republicans who are trying to force the Republican leader in the Senate to maneuver around the filibuster. I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't know what it would take to happen, but I want to play some of the debate that's going on. So this is Washington State Senator Patty Murray, who their whole debate seems to be, their whole argument, so the SAVE Act obviously would require voter ID. Their whole argument for Democrats seems to be that showing voter ID would make it too difficult to vote. Here's Patty Murray.
Just consider all the people who will face new challenges just to vote for no good reason. If you are a student who just moved to start college, Republicans will make it harder for you to vote. Because if this bill passes, you will need to show a photo ID and proof of citizenship in every single state. But a student ID won't count. Many tribal IDs also won't be enough under the new Republican restrictions.
You know what else you can't use a student ID for? To get into the bar. But do you think that they would be dissuaded by that obstacle? No, college students would sure as hell make sure that they get their ID so they can get into a bar, so they can make sure that they can get their ID so they can go and vote. And like Patty Murray and even Hillary Clinton, they're talking about, oh, for women who got married, this is just too difficult for them. Like, they think we're stupid. Like, they think we're incapable of doing this basic task to exercise one of the most fundamental rights that we have as Americans. And also, I think the dumb thing about what's happening now is that it's overwhelmingly popular. Overwhelmingly popular. Like 80% plus of the population consistently when polled across the ideological spectrum believes that, yeah, of course we need to have ID. But Democrats have turned it into this controversial thing. Here's Senator Ted Cruz referring to Democrats who are calling this Jim Crow 2.0.
Our Democrat colleagues are fond of bellowing into the TV cameras that photo ID to vote is Jim Crow. They tell us with mock earnestness. Now, I will admit, our Democrat colleagues should be experts in Jim Crow because it was Democrat politicians who passed the Jim Crow laws. It was Democrat politicians who founded the Ku Klux Klan. It was Democrat politicians for decade after decade who enforced discrimination, separate but equal, poll taxes, and a host of other laws designed to prevent African Americans from voting.
Yeah, and how is it that like Republicans got the one, like the racist moniker? Oh, they're the bigots. It's just crazy because everything he said there historically is totally true. But it's this soft bigotry of low expectations where Democrats are like, if you require voter ID, oh my gosh, black people aren't going to be able to vote. women aren't going to be able to vote. So we're just simple housewives, you know, just doing dishes and cooking food, and we can't possibly figure out how to make sure that our ID is valid. Despite the fact that so many of these states, because there's been the Real ID law, and they've given people years to get their Real ID. And what does a Real ID prove? That you're a citizen of this country. And so it's not difficult at all. None of this is difficult. And for some reason, Democrats choose to be on the wrong side of 80-20 issues consistently. And I've said this for Republicans or Democrats a million times, you don't pursue any sort of policy that will change elections in any way unless you believe it will be electorally beneficial to you. So Republicans believe that by making it only citizens who can vote, that that will be electorally beneficial to them. And Democrats believe that if you make it that only citizens can vote, it will hurt them electorally. And that says a lot, right? One thing I want to note, there was one bill we never talked about that I think is a positive thing for election integrity in Washington state that was passed and signed into law by Governor Ferguson, Senate Bill 6084. It's a really small thing, but apparently there was some ambiguity in our state law about voting in multiple states in the same election. And there was sort of a concern about how the law could be interpreted, because obviously it's a very obvious thing. You can't vote in the same election twice in two different states. And so this is Senate Bill 6084. Here's what Governor Bob Ferguson said about it. Yesterday, I signed a bill prohibiting double voting by fixing an ambiguity in state law. Voting more than once in an election is an affront to everyone who participates in our democracy. I agree. This bill makes it clear that double voting is illegal. Those who try it will be held accountable. Thanks to the Secretary of State for requesting this bill and to the sponsor, Senator Cortez. So it doesn't, I mean, obviously, there's already laws against voting twice. But the Secretary of State was concerned that our law, the way it was written, wasn't clear enough. And so they went in and fixed it. Good. No big deal. No problem with that whatsoever. All right. There continues to be just rock and roll, knock down, drag out fights among even the MAGA base and conservatives by and large about the resignation of Joe Kent yesterday as the head of counterterrorism efforts for the Trump administration. So, of course, he resigns, puts his letter out, blames the American-Israel lobby for convincing President Trump to attack Iran, says that he claims that there was no evidence of an imminent threat from Iran. So he's getting a lot of flack for his past statements about Iran, like this one on a podcast.
I mean, most Americans aren't aware of it. Our troops in Iraq and Syria have been attacked 150 plus times by Iranian proxies. And when we say Iranian proxies, we got to be clear on what that is. That's the Iraqi government that we pay. Because after the Iraqi military, we spent $2 trillion on, surrendered to ISIS, we had to go back in there in very short order and stand a military back up again. And guess who filled the breach? The Shia militias controlled by Iran did. And the Iraqi government's controlled by Iran.
Right. So he's saying that Iran led to the attacks and deaths of U.S. service members on a podcast not too long ago. And so again, this idea of, isn't that an imminent threat? There's also continues to be this disagreement about what sort of information he actually had access to. The White House has accused him of being a leaker, said he wasn't part of any briefings on Iran. Tulsi Gabbard, who's the director of national intelligence, everybody was waiting for her to say something about this. She said Donald Trump was overwhelmingly elected by the American people to be our president and commander in chief. As our commander in chief, he's responsible for determining what is and is not an imminent threat and whether or not to take action he deems necessary to protect the safety and security of our troops, the American people, and our country. The office of the director of national intelligence is responsible for helping coordinate and integrate all intelligence to provide the president and commander in chief with the best information available to inform his decisions. After carefully reviewing all the information before him, President Trump concluded that the terrorist Islamist regime in Iran posed an imminent threat, and he took action based on that conclusion. This is a really interesting statement from her, because it's not either supporting or opposing the idea, the attacks against Iran, and the idea that there was an imminent threat from Iran. She's basically saying, this is his job, and this is mine. We provide him with what we have. He's the commander-in-chief, overwhelmingly elected. He makes the decision. So it's this interesting statement where she's sort of like not angering maybe either side in particular, but just saying we all have our jobs. I did my job. The president did his job. And President Trump sharing some previous posts from Joe Kent. Now this is a beef. I never expected Joe Kent and the president to be beef, and I thought they were pretty much on the same page. He retweeted a post from Joe Kent in January of 2020 where Joe Kent tagged Donald Trump and said we should not sit and wait for the next attack. Wipe Iran's ballistic capability out and get our troops out of Iraq. They're only targets now. That seems to contradict what he's saying about Iran, because wiping their ballistic capability out, it would be in a quote-unquote attack. And that's a lot of what President Trump has done right now, is try to wipe out their military capabilities. So this back and forth is interesting. I look forward to hearing what he has to say on Tucker Carlson. Meanwhile, Caroline Leavitt says, because they've accused him of being a leaker. So if he's a leaker and he's dealing with counterterrorism, counterintelligence information, then is there some sort of criminal element to that? Here's what Caroline Leavitt says.
Anyone who has been suspected of leaking or is proven to be a leaker will not be welcome in this administration. I know that for a fact because I've heard the president say it myself. There are investigations underway into leakers in this administration, and people will be held accountable for that. It's unacceptable and it cannot be tolerated.
Yeah, and I agree with that. If you're leaking classified information that could put American service members at risk, I don't know if Joe Kent did that. I don't know if Joe Kent would do that. I mean, his wife was killed in action. I don't know if he would leak something that would put American service members in jeopardy, but by all means, investigate. All right, we'll get to comments from the live stream coming up next. First, are you worried about what's happening in Iran and how it might impact your retirement portfolio, oil prices, all of those things? So Zach Abraham is having one of his free live webinars coming up on April 2nd. It was going to focus a little more on AI, crypto tech. They're still going to talk about some of that, but obviously I think they'll be a little heavier on what's happening in Iran and the global markets. But either way, they got a full schedule during the webinar to help you cut through the market noise, AI, crypto tech, and the real fundamentals of value investing. Plus, they'll do a full reveal of how Bulwark is focused on risk management, always looking for opportunities to lower risk, lower cost, give your retirement as much upside as possible. So join Zach's Cutting Through the Market Noise webinar. It's coming up April 2nd, 3:30 p.m. Pacific time. You can register for free right now at knowyourriskpodcast.com. And if you can't make it, make time to schedule your free Know Your Risk portfolio review and subscribe to Zach's daily market recap at knowyourriskpodcast.com. All right, some comments from the live stream. And yes, I'm sorry, you guys were like, Brandy, you're live. For some reason, my live camera was streaming out before the show started today. But luckily, I didn't talk smack about you guys because I really wanted to. I'm just kidding. I wouldn't do that.
Everybody's
like, Brandy, you're live. And I'm like, I don't know. Am I live? All right. On the California voter fraud, Starkey Distinct. Never heard this name before. Save America Act has to pass or Trump administration is finished with the midterms. Let the revenge begin. And then says rock bottom Washington is the only lesson. Same comment, but just a different subject. Every business and employee should leave. Amazon, Microsoft, Boeing, all of them. Yeah, we're about to hit rock bottom, as if we weren't there already. Moon Goddess, silence the independent journalists equals save the swamp. Yeah, the only reason you'd silence or try to like dissuade independent journalism is you're trying to help politicians. Because what other point is there?
Well, I think they're petty, too. I think they just don't like something you said about them. So they're like, I'm going to keep you out.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Rick Johnson. So much fraud, crime and undermining of America by Democrats. It's truly unconscionable. La Pickett. That's why. And you notice you're not seeing these massive fraud stories in red states.
No,
you're not seeing it. And I'm not saying fraud doesn't exist in red states. Most states saw some level of fraud during the pandemic, for instance.
But they go where it's easy.
Right. You go where it's easy and where you're making all this ideologically driven spending and then you're not checking it because you're like, oh, I don't want to be accused of, you know, auditing the black people or auditing the homeless complex or whatever it is. Look, I'm in favor of equal opportunity auditing. Let's audit everyone. La Pickett. That's why they value keeping the homeless and addict population increasing. Correct. Country Guide, does ignorance of the law apply to police too? Yeah, because ignorance of the law is not an excuse.
That was really concerning.
That was very concerning. He goes, I think that's like a civil matter. I've seen them doing it, but I guess I didn't really know what they were doing. Okay.
I hope there was like, a notice that went out. Just so you're aware.
Right.
That's illegal.
That's illegal. Matthew Cook, not only are independent and conservative journalists doing the work mainstream media won't do, they're doing the work of the government. Right. So they're doing, it's like basically catching fraud. They're right. Like auditing in real time and catching fraud in real time. On Seattle, this screen name, Seattle looks like she's... She's knit. Corruption is the glue that binds the Democratic Party together. D-Man in Seattle, yeah, that hole in agencies not talking to each other is 100% intentional. Like in terms of, oh, you didn't tell the police that this is fraud. I think that's what you're referring to.
I think, and he's probably right. That way you can't blame it on one person. It's just a bad communication.
Yeah. Oops, sorry. Oh, sorry, we didn't know. On the trans youth advocate charged with child rape, Leland Taylor, I can't even chat. Everything I want to say about this is YouTube censored. Yeah. On the sexperts being paid, teen sexperts, late night with Tina. Personally, I feel like as a society, we are in seriously bad shape. I agree.
It's concerning.
Breakdown of the nuclear family is not a good thing. Amanda Chang says, this is disgusting. Stop sexualizing children and never make STIs normal. This is mental. Right, because if you say it's normal to get an STI, and I'm not saying it's, like, I don't want people to feel like, oh my God, my life is over because I got an STI. You should be informed about safe sex and all these things. But if you are out there pitching, oh, STI is normal, then what motivation is there to have safe sex?
Just by calling it STI, right, you're dumbing it down because they're like, oh, STD is too scary.
Yes.
So we're going to call it STI and it's totally fine.
It's
not a
disease, it's an infection and it's totally normal. So you're like, then why would they use a condom and all these things that you're telling? Why would they practice safe sex if you're telling them, oh, STI is totally normal and abortion? Totally cool. Totally awesome.
Right.
It's like, okay, that's just so
sexualizing kids. It's wild. I mean, out of all the things that I think we could normalize in the society, that is the craziest to me.
Yeah. No Kings protest coming up. Chuck Heller says, this segment of Unbelievable is brought to you by me. Boop. Chuck's sponsoring our Unbelievable. We appreciate it. Tony Bennett, we have a king in this state. Feels like it sometimes.
Yeah, they love kings. I don't understand that. They love being lorded over. They would rather have King Inslee or King Bob Ferguson or King, I don't know.
As long as it's not King Trump. Let's see. Crafty Grandma Crispy. Excellent. Does this mean the legislature will reverse all the crazy bills passed this session of during this session of tyranny? It was a session of tyranny. Eric says, I'll go. I'll bring a No King Ferguson sign. Can you imagine? You'd probably be assaulted physically.
Trampled.
Oh, my gosh. Actually, we should do it and see how long it takes for someone to physically assault us.
I don't want you to get physically assaulted.
Well, I'm a black belt.
But okay.
I'll punch him right in the throat. Okay. You know, I feel confident. All right, Nicole, thank you. We'll get to our closing sanity check coming up next. First, our friends at Valentine Roofing, as we found out this past weekend, the severe weather can hit out of nowhere. So if you know that your roof is on its last leg and you're just saying, oh, I'll go a couple more months, and then you have a severe event and then you got flooding in your house or whatever it is, it's just not worth it, especially when our friends at Valentine Roofing have such flexible financing options. I mean, they can help you out with payments as low as $159 a month. So if it's the cost that you're concerned about, which I think is a legitimate cost whenever you have to replace your whole roof, Valentine, they have flexible financing options to fit your budget. And right now they have a promotion going through the end of March. They're not only going to take care of you this year, but they have next year covered too, because if you get a new roof with Valentine, you get a free year of roof maintenance. So I think that's pretty cool. And that goes just until the end of March. So call our friends at Valentine, 206-ROOFING, 206-ROOFING, to schedule your free estimate today. Make sure you tell them you heard about them right here on Undivided with me, Brandi Cruz. And with that, let's get to our closing sanity check. Oh my God, Donald Trump continues to say that the 2020 election was stolen. He's a threat to our democracy. What a horrible person. You cannot claim that elections can be stolen unless you're a Democrat and you're accusing Trump of stealing an election.
So I would just say, if we ever get to the point where you are being asked to put armed ICE officers at polling locations, we have lost the plot as a country. We have fundamentally lost it. And until I hear someone tell me that this man, President Trump, will actually allow us to have a free and fair election, there is zero trust here, and I cannot trust that he won't try and steal it again.
Yeah, again. So totally disqualifying for President Trump to say an election was stolen, but perfectly fine for Democrats to say President Trump stole an election. Got it. All right, that has been our closing sanity check. That has been today's episode of Undivided. Thank you for being here. Again, go watch that whole James O'Keefe investigation. Just wild. If not for any other reason, just to see his acting job as a homeless person in Skid Row in LA, that in and of itself is worth it. And I am sure our friends Jonathan Cho and Cam Higby are going to do some awesome work down there as well. I think I'm a little too old to go undercover as a homeless person. I think I've been doing this a little too long.
Well, I don't
think that's
the reason.
There's a lot of reporting I like to do. Why are you saying that I wouldn't be able to pass as a homeless person?
You're a good actress. I could see that, but
figure it out.
But I also just wouldn't put you in that vulnerable situation.
Yeah, you know. Let the boys do it. Gotta be honest. Let them do it. All right. If you'd like to support our show, go to UndividedPod.com, UndividedPod.com, because on this show, we don't refer to child predators by their preferred pronouns. I think that's a really great reason to support the show. We will see you back here tomorrow for our final live show of the week.